Welcome everyone to Electronic Talks podcast. Today I have a very special guest coming here from Marseille. It's Lions Drums. Welcome.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Yeah, welcome to Stockholm. How are you doing?
I'm good. And you?
Yeah, very good, very good. You're here because you're going to play tomorrow at Radio Brus at Lycke Nytorget.
Yes.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this nice party, collective with a podcast that I really like, so I'm looking forward.
Yes. But I was thinking one thing that maybe many people here in the Nordics don't really know about is your town of origin, Marseille.
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit about how you started out with music there and how the scene was?
So I started music quite a long time ago as I released my first EP in 2005.
And
before that, I started music also because my father, he was a musician. So I grew up surrounded by music. And
wonderful.
He was like in a different kind of music, more in the I would say like Woodstock way of life, like playing guitar like Jimi Hendrix. Maybe
nice.
not as well as Jimi Hendrix, but I was always like surrounded by music and loud music, I would say.
Yeah.
But my father, he used to say that when I was sleeping, it means that the music was good.
Yeah.
So they were playing like in a band, very loud, and I was still always around sleeping and enjoying the music.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I grew up, I felt like it was interesting to do something different music-wise. This is also why I wanted to explore like the music, electronic music, and trying to understand more about the synthesizers and all the techniques and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started in 2005 and created my label Biologic Records.
Oh, yes.
So, and then released my first EP on my own label. And then after a few years, I started to release EPs on other labels and to produce other artists on my own label, so it changed a bit, and then in 2005 I started as Abstraction, my first releases, and then in 2018 I think I released my first EP as Lions Drums on the Iron Disc, this is the how it started with my side project, second project. And this is basically how it started and everything.
Interesting. And from what I understand, when you created your second alias, Lions Drums, in 2018, there was some kind of desire from your side to express, you know, a feeling of the city of Marseille or some different kind of soundscapes. Could you explain what your idea was when you started it?
It's also because when I sent this EP to John Talabot, he told me that it really sounded like something different from what I used to release and produce.
Yeah.
And then it was also the year that when my son was born, so a lot of new things happening, and I felt like, okay, it's a good time to start a new project with a specific sound, something that would more like connected to Marseille, like a sunny vibe, also something a bit rough, but also something that could be like influenced by a lot of different things coming from a lot of cultural atmospheres. And so I started like this this new project, and Lions Drums is also the name of the street where I live, but also lion is the sign of my son. He's born in August, so it's a mix of everything that was happening at the time
year.
I started to release this first EP in 2018, and then the album that I released after.
Yes, I believe it must have been in 2020 you released Kagabas. Yes, is that correct?
Exactly.
And it was based a lot on field recordings in Colombia. Or can you tell us about the journey, about like the whole concept? Because it's quite
it's
special.
A long story. Yes. And yes, so basically the thing is that I heard the story of the Kogis, mm-hmm. Kagabas, when I was listening to the radio station France Culture, which is a French radio that I listen a lot. And there it was someone who was talking about the Kogis and how they are like very concerned about the future, the environment and everything that is happening around them. And as they are living in the Sierra Nevada, which is a mountain at the border with Venezuela in Colombia.
I see.
And the Mama, a spiritual guide that was he was talking at the radio, saying like he was interested in finding ways to express this concern. And so I was moved by this, and I got it in touch with an organization that is based in the Sierra Nevada and working with them since like 15 years. And I sent them like I would be interested to do whatever they want basically and follow what they want to do. So they said, and the Kagabas said that they were interested in welcoming me, mm-hmm. but it had to be like for only a week.
Yeah.
And it had to be like with some specific ideas.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be like very respectful of mm-hmm. what they wanted to express. Mm-hmm. And so basically when I arrived there, they wanted to have like all these songs recorded in a way of not losing the memory of those songs, because there is no writing. Mm-hmm. Everything is like transmitted by the songs mm-hmm. to the from the older to the younger generations. So it's something that is very important to them. It's like mm-hmm. singing is a way to connect with everything that is around them. Mm. So I recorded a lot of things when I was there, a lot of songs that they made. And when I came back in Marseille, I worked on this idea of having like a journey of 1 hour with a lot of different songs, with a bit of composition that I will produce in between, mm-hmm. like to connect, to tell a story. Mm-hmm. And I sent that back to them by mail. And then Franz, who is the one who helped me also to do it, went back in the mountain mm-hmm. and to make it possible for them to listen to mm-hmm. the whole project and, mm-hmm. and have some validation about the idea of raising this album.
Yeah.
And they were super happy about the results. And then I released this album.
Yeah.
And and the idea was really to that all the money that we will get from the album will help this organization, because one of the main concerns that they have now is that they have their land that are stolen, as they have no writing, they have no like titre de propriété.
Yeah, no so documents to
no
prove.
No documents
their
to prove. Yes. Yeah. So it's like something that is a big issue there, and also there are a lot of trees that are cut around the forest, and the idea was to buy the land back.
Yes.
And plant the trees.
Yeah.
Back to the where they belong. So so 2 years after that, so it was last year,
mm-hmm.
Went back there to finish this project. And so it's quite a bit complicated to explain, as it happened like 3 years ago, but there are new things coming in the future with this project. But
it's amazing to that you kind of combine, you can, you know, the environmental aspect, but also this kind of memory of this indigenous people, and kind of this almost like spiritual feeling to it when you listen to the record.
Yes, that's something what was important that was important for me is that I wanted to almost disappear. Like I'm not existing. I'm not doing the music. It's like when you hear the record,
yeah.
you hear what is happening there and what they want to express.
Yeah.
So like when I was there, I wanted to be like super discreet and just like don't disturb anything. And
yeah.
that was one of my concern.
Mm.
So I'm happy that it worked.
Yeah. And how was the feeling when you went back last year?
But, so the thing is that since I went there, I had also like a live mm-hmm. touring.
Mm-hmm.
And it was... and we changed some messages. So we kept the contacts since
yeah.
The 2 years. I would say, and so we were super happy to meet again, and they wanted like to show me new things that I couldn't see like in the first time, because when you meet someone for the first time,
yes.
then you need to have like the trust to be confident about what is gonna happen, and
yeah.
then it was like okay, now we want to show you this special place that
yeah.
we couldn't see. Last time, and
mm-hmm.
it's a bit longer, a bit up in the mountain. There's a special connection with every place is connected in the mountain. They want to explain also to me why. So I went there, and the first time I followed everything that someone wanted to show me, and
yeah.
This time that's something that I saw that was missing. And the first time is that also the video would have been like amazing to share, and
right.
so I had someone with me like shooting,
mm-hmm.
like a professional video maker,
yeah,
and so they agreed for him to so it was like the two of us
mm-hmm.
traveling, and it was like a mission a bit complicated
yeah.
to do it, but. It's like something that should be released next year.
Amazing. So there will be more material coming from that.
Yes.
That's very exciting. I like it. It's a very different kind of musical project, I would say.
Yes,
yeah.
it's something more like, I would say, more calm, more ambient in
mm-hmm.
In a way of different from what I'm playing out in the clubs or
yes.
in the different atmosphere, but also it was interesting for me around the COVID time
mm-hmm.
I had more time to work on it and
yeah.
So it's something that is also interesting for me to explore.
Yeah, of course. And then you followed that up for Lion's Drums. You also had a second album called La Batterie.
Yes.
Yes, so focused on drums.
That's also something a bit complicated to explain. That
yeah.
I always try to find exciting new ways to create.
Yeah.
So on this one, I was quite... happy to work with producers, for example, with Roberto Mucci.
Yes.
He we started to exchange messages and I was curious to like know if there were some things that he didn't release
mm-hmm.
in the past, because
mm-hmm.
I knew that he was like doing a lot of field recordings as well in the 80s, 90s, and
mm-hmm.
And he sent me some stuff that he never released and never finished,
mm-hmm.
and so I was like, okay, maybe I can like finish what you started and send it back to you and see
mm-hmm.
if you like it, we will release it.
Yeah.
And so this is how it started. It's like recycling material from the past to create something. New
yeah.
and so it was like a lot of different tracks that were sometimes never released on anything except vinyl
mm-hmm.
and And also having like some producers sending me stuff from the past that I will work on. So it's also something interesting to work with drums recorded, for example, in India or in Japan from 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's also exciting, and it's what makes me happy about trying to find new way to express composition, music, and what I'm doing.
And also, there seems in the liner notes of the album, there's some expression about the importance of the drum or the beat and the specific feeling of that. Could you explain a little bit your connection to that and what you were thinking?
Yeah, I always liked all kind of drums, which is also what is around the idea of Lion's Drum, which is like drums that that could come from South America or Northern Africa or North of Europe or anywhere, and trying to find like a new way to work on those drums and having like a different kind of way to express in an album all the drums that I love.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wonderful. I think that's the exciting thing about, you know, discovering your discography, is that it's quite wide, you know. If we also go from your last album under your other alias, Abstraction, you released an album called Burning.
Yes.
This year. And that's completely, completely different. But could you tell me a little bit about how you're thinking when you're making music?
So basically, my project Abstraction is more like dark, a bit more techno, I would say.
Yeah.
And Lion's Drums is more sunny and with drums, and so it's the easiest way to explain the difference.
Yeah.
And for Burning, the idea was to create something that would be more EBM, and also from what I loved in some albums that I was listening from the 80s, and the way that they produce the sound, mix the sound, that I really liked, having like short tracks always around 3 minutes, 30 seconds, 4 minutes, that are very powerful. And so this is also for me a way to go really deep into this EBM world. And also, as I was listening a lot of this kind of music recently.
Yeah.
And so basically that's the idea around the album.
And another thing that's specific about you is that you also like, when you play live, to include some analog instruments or synthesizers. Could you tell me about your approach to your live sets?
So my
at times,
my live sets now, I use a GRP A4, which is an Italian modular. It's like only produce. There are not a lot of those synths produced every year. And so I'm traveling with this like big box with modules, and trying to reproduce what I was doing in the album and in the so it's like a big synth that I love, and that I feel like it's reconnected to this. Also EBM. Now I'm talking about this live as Abstraction.
Yes.
It's a
of
bit.
Yeah.
I have to so it's a synth that I love. I use a lot on this album as well, and that has a very powerful sound, a very specific sound, and that I use a lot in the studio. But also right now, because the thing is that I produced Burning almost 2 years ago.
Oh, really?
So it was it was released this year, but I did it quite not a long time, but 2 years ago. And and now I became like more. I really changed my way of producing. This is how I work. It's like I'm get bored very easily, and I don't want to do like always the same tracks. Yeah. And I know that sometimes it's hard to follow what I'm doing because it's like it's never in there's not like one line and always the same kind of genre. Or and I like to like explore all the genres and finding like always new way to surprise the audience and sometimes maybe lose them. But as I'm doing this since 2005, it's important for me to explore new way of creating.
Yeah.
And I was a lot in the past years about analog, and I have a studio in Marseille where I create. I created a lot of music with old analogs since, and but recently I did everything in the box with my laptop, traveling in around Sweden this summer, for example.
Right.
Like I'm going to release an EP, I think, very soon that I did. Just with my laptop traveling around, and sometimes I'm more excited and inspired by having my laptop and traveling around and seeing new things than being like stuck in a studio with always the same view. And this is also a way to find new ways of creating. And so I'm happy also to work like everything in the box with a lot of VSTs and plugins that I've just discovered, and I felt like they are also amazing. So I'm not only saying that it has to be only analog since it has to be. No, I like to change. I like playing vinyls, but I like to play like only USBs as well.
Sure.
So everything is cool for me as long as the music is good. That's
exactly.
That's the most important.
Of course, yeah. And if you're feeling inspired, that's the most important thing. As well, right?
Yes.
Could you talk a little bit more about, like, for us here, about like the scene in Marseille, the club scene, or you know, discovering electronic music? How is that? How has that been in the past 20 years? How has that developed? Would you say
in Marseille? I'm involved in a project with, I would say, 15 friends since almost 10 years now, and. It's a project with our organization called Laboratoire des Possibles, which is an organization that is doing two projects right now.
Mm-hmm.
One that is a festival called Encore Encore.
Yes.
It's a festival happening 1 hour away from Marseille in a little village called Corence.
Uh-huh.
And it happens... every year in June during 3 days.
Yeah.
And so this is a project that is very important also for me, as it's a place where I grew up. And it's also a village known as it's the first organic village of France in terms of what is growing inside. Everything is organic.
Okay.
I would say that so it's we try to keep that spirit and and fit, and having like for example only local products that are selling in the festival, and having artists that are coming mostly by train or car or bicycles, and having like sustainable ways of expressing ourselves in these festivals, and trying to finding ideas to be as much respectful as possible as for the environment that we love in Corence.
Yeah.
So that's one project, and the second one is a project called Mouillette, which is a queer event that we do in Marseille, sometimes in Paris, and that we do sometimes I would say every 3 months. So yes, that's. Also, what I love is to organize those things with my friends, and and we have a lot of new exciting projects coming.
Exciting. And how about your label currently?
So Biologic Records right now is a label that I'm working with my friend as a producer, DC Salas, which is a producer from Belgium.
Yeah.
And yeah, we also work together since almost 10 years, I think. And he's been releasing some amazing stuff lately.
Yeah.
And so now we have to see what is coming next. But we released a lot of records in the past from producers as Azo, Kain Mushi. I would say also producer from Belgium, from Marseille. That's the last compilation that we released. It's it's the idea is to have as he lives in Brussels and I live in Marseille, is to have like three producers from Brussels, three producers from Marseille,
right,
and having like side two sides of this. And this is what we did recently, and we will keep on going on this on those ideas.
So do you travel between each other's cities as well to produce together, or we
did a lot of parties together in the past in Brussels, in Marseille, and and also yes, I love Brussels, it's also exciting for me to do things in this city with a lot of friends that I have there. And yeah, that's one of the most exciting city in Europe right now.
Yeah, of course, of course. So you would say that that's a good city for the music scene at the moment?
Yes, I think so. It's a very, very nice very nice city, and yes, of course, there are a lot of other very good cities for electronic music, but that's one that I enjoy the most at the moment.
And I was also thinking a little bit for the local crowd here in Stockholm, like tomorrow at Lykke and Radio Brus, what kind of music can they expect that you would play in that kind of set?
So the best way for me to talk about music is the best way to explain the music is to go to listen to my mixes.
Yes.
That, for example, that I have on SoundCloud. I have a monthly radio show on Tsugi Radio.
Oh, yes.
So if you go to my SoundCloud and you listen to my monthly radio show, then you will very easy see the vibe. And sometimes it's easier to go and listen than explaining during 5 minutes how it is.
Yes, for sure, for sure. I agree with you. Yeah, I have some fond memories of Tsugi when I first moved to Paris. They were releasing the first magazine at that time, the first one, and I followed it a lot.
And now they have a radio station at La Villette. And
oh, really? Yeah.
So, when I'm here, I go there to record directly at the radio, and sometimes, so most of the time, I record in my studio in Marseille, and then I send them the mixes.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it's since I do this radio show since 3 years.
Yeah.
Now, so it's quite. I'm happy about it, and it's a good way to have like. Every month,
yeah,
a good way to share all the exciting songs and tracks that I receive. So
yes, of course, of course. And what would you say you're most excited about right now as an artist, like looking forward?
What I'm the most excited is coming next. I'm very excited about discovering Stockholm as well, because I feel that it's a city that I love, and I would love to spend more time here. And I'm even thinking like, oh my God, I want to move here, to live here. I love this city, and I love the vibe of the. There are some amazing producers also here, yes, I feel like in the future I want to spend more time here, and that's something that that's also why I wanted to do those parties, because I feel like it's important for me to connect with the right people that share the same taste in music, and it's also what I like about Bruce, about what they are doing in this in this project is that they have a very good selection of music, and that's also what I think is exciting for me, is that discovering new things and trying to look for. So as I'm curating some festivals in south of France, like maybe who are going to be like the next artist, and looking for new things to discover. What kept me excited is looking for new things.
I mean, it seems the way you're working is kind of like an explorer or adventurer. Yes. Like you're always like finding some new region or something new, new soundscapes.
Yes, it's also I receive a lot of demos, a lot of promos, a lot of tracks coming in my mailbox, and but also. Also, a lot of things that I discovered, just like looking, listening to other sets, and also going out, and sometimes in the record stores, and so it could come from something new or something that was released 30, 40 years ago or never released, as I did with La Batterie, for example, and trying to find for. New ways of expressing music.
Also, one question that can be quite fun sometimes is to see if you have, you know, for yourself, is there a specific memory from a festival or a club that has meant a lot to you as you were kind of growing up as an artist?
For me, I remember as we were talking about my live show with the GRP A4. I remember when I went to play it at Berghain Panorama Bar, and I arrived with this big box to do the sound check, and I was with all my friends from Marseille. It was a very very strong and powerful memory, kind of the church of techno, and being able to play this live there with all my friends around me. It's one of the memory that will last. So I would say that's the one that came to my mind when you say it.
Of course. Yeah, I think that's about our time for today. But thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Yes, and good luck with exploring Stockholm. I'm looking forward to see your set tomorrow as well.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
So that's it for this episode of Electronic Talks podcast. You find us on all the podcast platforms as usual, including YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. So thanks for today, and see you next time.